Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you praise and give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. We are in you. You are in us. Our fellowship together. We give you honor and give you praise. Our ears are open. We declare it so. We declare that our eyes can see wondrous things out of thy law and thy word. We declare that our hearts can receive revelation, even as it is written, that the Lord grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And as always, we also declare that the entrance of your word brings light into our hearts and gives us revelation today. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. All right, before we get started, we ask that you share the room. Go ahead and share the room throughout the lesson. Share the room as well. Just share the room and react. You know, if you're hearing something that's good, we want you to react to it and, you know, put it in the chat room, that is, not to interrupt the lesson, but put something in the chat room. And the Lord is going to bless us all together. Praise the Lord. This is part three, so to speak, of the continuation of our darkness or light and darkness series. But, you know, I'm changing the, you know, title a little bit so that it'll be more focused. Now, we have talked about the biblical understanding, the biblical concept of light and darkness. We'll cover that for 2 days. In this part three, we're going into another phase of this series, which is the transformation phase. This is what it's all about. We've laid the foundation. In fact, in the first two lessons, we put out enough information for you to get an idea of where we're going. But this is what it is all about, you know, transformation from darkness into light and walking in that light. Now, that's a full title, but you can't get all of it to fit in this. Clubhouse only gives you so much. But that's the full title, transformation from darkness into light. Walking in the light. So I am going to not assume anything. I'm just going to cover this subject from beginning to where we're going. The first thing that we want to talk about is, what is it that God wants to do with us? It's more than just saving us, and this subject of darkness and light. It's more than just saving us from darkness, but it's more about transforming us into children of light. So let's consider this concept. Not only to save us from darkness, but to transform us into light. Now, to the point that we can become like him, we now walk, we live, we think, we speak, we operate, we function in the light of his word, in the light of his holiness, and in the light of his truth, and the light of his presence. You know, so this transformation takes us from, you know, wherever we are into a different place where we are able to function, live, walk, think, speak, operate in the light of his word, his truth, his holiness, and his presence. That's what this series is all about. You know, and I've touched on this transformation series here and there in the past, but I want to really get into it by the grace of God this time around. I may hold back some things for our September to Remember event, but we want to get some, you know, some revelation by the grace of God. Let's start out with knowing what God says about darkness and light as it relates to us. We'll start out at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. It's a fundamental scripture. It's a foundational scripture. Say, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. See, you are now light yeah, in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So there was something that's happened or is happening in that verse. From darkness into light, and an admonition to walk in the light. You know, so that's really the title of this new sub-series. Now, as you consider that verse, we're going to explain some things. Well, here are two more verses that are going to be our foundational scriptures. Colossians 1 and 13. God who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So there is the transformation and there is the translation. And it's the same thing really. And then 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation. Now God chose us. He selected us. We are a chosen generation. We're not just random. As you know, Psalm 65 verse 4 says, blessed is the man whom thou chooses and causes to approach unto you. So we're not just these things are not just happening randomly. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're an holy nation. We're a peculiar people. We're chosen to show forth the praises of him who has called us. See? Called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, these three scriptures, Ephesians 5:8, these are things that I want you to memorize may be good, but meditate upon them today, tomorrow, throughout as we are covering this series. Ephesians 5:8 says, you were sometimes darkness. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. But now you are, you know, light in the Lord. And command us to walk as light. That's really the key scripture here. But then he also tells us that, look, God has delivered us already from the power of darkness. That's Colossians 1 and 13. And then, you know, he's taken us into, he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So there's kingdom information here as well. It would appear as if while we were in darkness, we were in a different kingdom. But it's more than just being in darkness. It's actually, he called us darkness. So we don't talk about that. Then in 1 Peter 2 and 9, we see that he said he has called us out of darkness. Now you will see that in each of these verses, it's using the past tense. It's not using a future tense. You know, you were darkness, but you are now light. That's past tense. Something that was in the past and where you are now. God had delivered us. That's past tense. From the power of darkness And as translated as the kingdom of his dear son, something's already happened. You know, you are a chosen generation. And so forth, to call you to be showing forth his praises and all that. Who has called you, past tense, out of darkness into his marvelous light. So in all these cases, we actually see that God is saying it has already happened. Now it's happened, you know, as far as God is concerned, but he now commands us to walk in that light. We're going to be talking about, you know, the process, you know, because there may be some people that are still new to this, that still need to experience this transformation. And then even those of us who have experienced the initiation of this transformation, there is a process of going deeper. We'll be talking about that as well. Now, let me talk about two spiritual realms that we see from these scriptures. One is the realm of darkness, and the other is the realm of light. One is the kingdom of darkness, and the other is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, called the dear Son of God. You know, so think about it, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Every person lives in one of these two realms. There's really no neutral ground. I mean, it's not like, you know, you are either in the kingdom of darkness or you are in the kingdom of light. You know, and many of us were sometimes actually darkness. Darkness. So we see that when we talk about salvation, the concept of salvation that we preach, the church preaches today, is very shallow. Very shallow. We talk about salvation in terms of, you know, God has forgiven our sins so that we should not go to hell. But that's very shallow. There's much more to it than that. It's not just a, you know, God forgive our sins. I mean, that's great. That's huge. But there's more to it than that. It's not just, you know, we're waiting around to go to heaven. No. You know, God has relocated us, you know, and translated us and is transforming us, or has transformed some of us, you know, already. It's a spiritual, I mean, think of migration. Birds migrate from place to place, you know, depending on the season of the year. Animals migrate and different things. People even migrate. Right? And you go from one country to another and change your place of where you live, you know, because you desire that better country. And so you migrate, and there are immigration laws around that, you know. So, and God showed us examples of migration, physical migration in the Bible, to illustrate this point. He said, Abraham, when he was called by faith, when he was called from a place where he was to migrate to another place that he didn't know, by faith, he obeyed. In Hebrews chapter 11 will tell you that. And then we're told that, look, all those people were sojourners. They were going to a place, and they had not yet attained the place, but they saw it afar off in their minds. And, you know, they were persuaded. They embraced it. They began to confess that they were pilgrims and strangers upon the earth. Hebrews 11 and 13. And we've used that concept to teach faith. Well, there's really a migration process behind that. So relocation, being relocated from one place to another. You used to live in a third world country. Now you migrated to one of these Western countries where perhaps you think the life is better. So you wanted to go there. You know, so, and there is a better life, actually, that, you know, appears to be there. That's why people are migrating. So, in the spiritual realm, it's the same thing also. There are two spiritual realms. A kingdom of darkness. Satan bragged about it. He told Jesus, you know, we see, an encounter between Jesus and Satan when he was tempted in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit drove him there to be tempted. God wanted him to face it and show us something. And then, you know, as preparation, he was fasting and everything, you know, and he was challenged throughout that fast, but especially when he finished, there were three great areas that the devil came out against him. And one of those, you know, in the conversation, Satan actually bragged. He said, look, he took him into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's like a vision. And he said, all these things are delivered unto me. I give them to whoever I will. Ah, and Jesus didn't argue. And he said, you know, all you got to do, you know, I know you want to get these people back, but they are mine now. Satan told Jesus. But all you got to do, you bow down to me, you surrender so that I am above you. Because that's what he always wanted. I will ascend to the sides of the north. You know, I will be like the Most High. I will now be in charge. You bow down to me and I'll give you all these things. For mine they are. They are delivered unto me. It's interesting to see that Jesus didn't argue the fact of, you know, mine they are. They are delivered unto me. He didn't argue that. You know, he did say that, look, thou, it is written, only worship the Lord thy God. You not bow to anybody else. That's all he said, you know, to fight that. He didn't say, well, what do you mean these things are delivered unto you? Of course they are not delivered unto you. He didn't say any of that because, you know, well, by deception, you know, the Bible says that whosoever you obey, his servants are you, of him that you obey. So, when Adam and Eve chose to obey the word of the devil, rather than God, they became the devil's servants. He took everything. It's a concept, you know, and the devil knew it. And Jesus didn't argue it. So, when he said, all these things are mine, but I'll give them to you. Well, that shows that, you know, there was in the kingdom of darkness, which the God of this world, we are told, God of this world had blinded the eyes of them that believe not. We covered that yesterday, you know, and we'll cover some more of it again. The God of this world being Satan, the kingdom of darkness is the realm in which most of us still are. Some of us were there. God has translated us to the kingdom of light. These two realms cover everybody that's in the world. And salvation is more, it's richer than just forgiveness of our sins, you know, or paying penance for us. Maybe Jesus paid penance or something for our sins and that's it. No, it must be a change, a transformation, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. The sacrifice of bulls and goats couldn't do it, but God is doing it today through in people's lives and has done it in some of our lives. But it's a relocation. We must know where we were and where we are now and where we are going. Now, darkness is not merely the absence of light. You know, I said, okay, well, there is no light. So that's darkness. Well, we know that. But beyond that, it's a state of deception. It's a state of blindness. It's a state of bondage. It's a state of sin. We talked about that. You know, sin, death, and darkness on the same, on one side of this, of the light spectrum. And on the other side, you know, we see righteousness, life, and light, you know. So, spiritual death is in the realm of darkness. We cover that even when we're talking about the story of how Jesus died. You know, there was no way he could really die as long as he was that light. Because he was a light that lightened every man that came into the world. Darkness could not get him. Neither could death get him. But, to God be the glory, in the predeterminate counsel of God, God wanted him to carry the sins of this world, which made him into darkness. And now that opened that door for death to get him. And in the moment of his darkness, not because of his own sins, but because he was changed into sin for us. Christ who knew no sin was made sin for us. Yeah. Basically, turned him into, the only way to fight that thing and get us out of there was he himself became that thing to pay for that and blow the devil out. And that was what God did. So darkness isn't just about the absence of light. It's about all these things. It's a realm. You know, Bible says you were sometimes darkness. Not that you were in darkness. No. But you yourself were darkness. So, you know, we'll talk more about that. On the other hand, light is not just merely a brightness or the absence of darkness, you know. Just like darkness is not just the absence of light, light is also not just the absence of darkness. You know, it is truth. You know, it is revelation. It's purity. It's direction. It's divine life. The attributes of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit to us. That's light. Otherwise, you are in darkness still. That's why the Bible says that, look, if you love your brother, you are in the light. If you don't, you are still in darkness. You know, so these are attributes and these are realms. Darkness, take note of this, is not just an environment. You know, you come into a room, it's dark. Instinctively, the first thing you are looking for is a light switch. If you are familiar with that room, you already know where the light switch is, so you just go for it. If you are not, and it's completely dark, and you can't see, you're just using your hand to grope on the wall to see if you can find a switch. But that's really what people do. You want to turn on the light when you are in the dark. That's the first thing you do. But spiritual darkness is not just an environment. It's a condition of the heart. Because Ephesians 5:8 says, ye were sometimes darkness. Not just you were in darkness. You are just in a darkness. No. You were actually darkness. So it was a condition. As a state, you know, at that time, while we were without Christ, our identity was darkness. Darkness shaped our decisions, everything we did. You know, Darkness ruled our wishes, our desires. It was just everything. We were in darkness. We were without Christ in this world. You know, so that's the condition of darkness. Let's look at it more, because the reason we're going deeper into this is so you can see what God is transforming us from. You know, and this is the message of the gospel. Not just some shallow, you know, give your life to Christ and you'll be saved. Nobody knows what that really means. But this is it. Darkness is ignorance of God. Let's consider some scriptures that show the characteristics of spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. Yeah. In the book of Ephesians, you know, chapter 4 and verse 18, we read about this, the state of this darkness. You know, it talks about people who are in darkness. Let's read it from 17. Therefore, I say unto you and testify in the Lord that you should henceforth not walk as the Gentiles do, in the vanity of their minds. Because so their minds, he said, their understanding were darkened. So he's talking about darkness. They were alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, being in the blindness of their heart. Now, this is a condition of the unregenerated man, the unsaved man, that doesn't know Christ. You know, ignorance. And it's talked about, they are alienated. They can't have the life of God. They are alienated from the life of God. They are ignorant because of the blindness of their heart. So look at all the things he's talking about. Ignorance, blindness, and so forth. And lack of the knowledge of God and things like that. And, you know, now, but let's look at other scriptures that talk about darkness and bondage to sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 talks about bondage. These are some of the conditions of how we were, you know, when we were in sin. And a contrast of how we should be when we're now in the Lord. Know ye not, he said, you know, that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, is servants you are, that you obey, whether of sin unto death. Yeah, so when we obey sin, it tenders to death and it puts us in bondage. We're servants to sin. You obey sin, you're servant to sin. You know. Now, all of obedience to righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin. See? But now, obedience is the vehicle that's moving you from being a servant of sin. You have now, he said, obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Powerful stuff here in the book of Romans chapter 6. You know, well, he said, well, I speak after the manner of men. I'm using these symbolisms, you know, to help you understand things because of the iniquity of your flesh. So, as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, you know, and to iniquity unto iniquity, well, right now, you know, then yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. As you were in darkness, yeah, and you did the things of darkness, now that you are in the light, do the things of light. That's what he's saying. Now, he said, even yield your members now, servants, to righteousness and to holiness. For when you were servants, you know, to sin, or servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You know, I said yesterday that, you know, unbelievers who are in the darkness, they don't cringe at sin. Yeah, they just do it. You know, so because that's their nature in darkness. Now, when you were servants of righteousness, you were free. I mean, sorry, when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Now that you are in righteousness, you are free from sin. And you need to stay free from sin. You say, being now made free from sin. See? You become servants of God. You have your fruit unto holiness. And end of it is everlasting life. What fruit then had you in those things of which you are now ashamed? See, when you are in darkness, when you were in darkness, you were not ashamed of those things. You just did them. And they, even people who are glad to show their evil ways, you know, they just talk about the evil they do. They didn't, you know, they're not even ashamed of them. But now you are ashamed of those things. Now, why then should you go back to those things? For the end of those things is death, he says. The end of those things is death. For the wages of sin, death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when we preach salvation to people, I have to preach all these things. You know, there must be a transformation. You can't just say, I give my life to Christ. What does that mean? There must be a transformation of coming from darkness to light. It's a change that is happening. The blindness of the heart is being removed. The condition of the characteristics of spiritual darkness, what I'm saying, has ignorance of God, a bondage to sin. Now, blindness of the heart. That's covered in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. You know, because so that they will not receive the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. You know, that's blindness of the heart. They also receive, when we are in spiritual darkness, another characteristic and condition of it is confusion. Confusion. We stumble around. We don't know where we're going. In darkness, people stumble. Confusion and instability. In fact, James talks about it in a different kind of way in the book of James, you know, chapter 1, you know, and instability. He said, well, you're unstable in all your ways. You know, people are unstable in all their ways. James chapter 1, verse 8. We live by feelings and impulses and the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh. He said, are these? And he listed a whole bunch of stuff. Because that's what we did when we're in the flesh. And that's what we do if we walk in the flesh now. And darkness always leads to death. The wages of sin and all this stuff. Darkness, that's where it ends. The road on that darkness path ends in death. There's no other place. But God must transport you out of that, put you in the light. You know, it's a broken identity. You know, whereas God said, you know, in the beginning that he put his spirit into the man, they were in the light. You know, we see that when they broke that relationship, they didn't even know who they were anymore. Now they're hiding from God and so on. Darkness also leads to broken relationships, not only with God, broken relationships with your brethren, you know, and so forth. People are in darkness, you know, they're just in darkness. It's a broken purpose, it's a broken identity, broken destiny. I mean, darkness, that's where we were. But when the Lord commands us to walk in the light, and he says something like this in Matthew 5 and 16, let your light so shine. And Paul would say all those things. Walk as children of light. This is intentional living. It's not just going to happen. Let means cause it to be. You know, it's intentional. When God said, let there be, it's not that, you know, maybe it will just happen. No, he's directing the thing so that it will cause it to come to pass. Now, let your light shine is intentional. You must intentionally do whatever it needs for the light to shine. If there's something that's covering the light, you got to take it away. You know, if you have a lamp and the light is, you know, it's losing the fire, it's going out, you got to trim, you know, the wick and trim those things. Clean out the glass. Maybe it's now has soot and black and so forth. Cover the brightness of the thing. Bring it out. Clean it out so they can shine. The let is intentional. Something that we have to do. Something has to happen. It's not just going to be. You make it be. It's what let means. You know, just like Paul was saying in Philippians 4 and 8, you know, how we should direct our thoughts. Don't just let your thoughts drift, he said. Let your thoughts drift. You know, direct your thoughts into these things. Things that are pure. Things that are honest. Things that are of good report. Things that are true. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, direct your thoughts into this thing. Just let your thoughts be anyhow. You know, take control of that. Now, we as human beings, we are also portals. A portal is a gateway. Your eyes are portals. Your ears are portals. Our entire being is a portal. You know, disembodied spirits are looking for portals of how to get back into something. Looking for human beings, you know, get inside them and get back into something. Be an entrance. Be a doorway. Keep the doors of your heart. Yeah? Because, you know, out of them, there are the issues of life. You know, you got to keep, you know, the doors of your heart. The commandment that God gives us is a lamp. It's a light. It's instructions to the way of life. You know, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 tells us that. You know, so we are going to next think about how God, or talk about how God transforms us, how he brings us from darkness into light. We've already been told that he did it, but how did he do it? And how is he doing it for those that are yet to experience it? Well, you know, this is how he does it. There are many, you know, vehicles that God uses. Number one, the finished work of Christ. Colossians 1 and 13. There are two key words there. He says, God has delivered us, that's in the past, and has translated us. So, those are key. Jesus finished it on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, having fulfilled all righteousness and all scriptures that were written about him, he was on the cross. They gave him vinegar and everything. That was the last thing that he hadn't actually finished. Yeah? So when he finished that, when he did that, in John chapter 19, verse 30, he said, it is finished. It's done. Yeah, I concluded everything. Well, delivered us from the power of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, from the realm of darkness, to bring us into this new realm of light, so that the condition of our hearts before being darkened, being alienated from God, you know, being strangers even from the things of God. I mean, our mind could not comprehend the things of God. Now, that's a different thing. We now have understanding. We have revelation. But Paul keeps praying for the young believers that they will receive even more of this revelation and more of this understanding. So, through the finished work of Christ is one way that God is bringing us out of darkness into light. And that's the capstone of it. Jesus finished it. Now, the second thing is, you know, even if you say, I give my life to Christ, there is fuel that you must continue to have daily to help you stay. It's like your lamp needs the oil to keep burning. That fuel is the light of God's word. The light. You get that from his word. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp to my feet. So it's like a lamp. You know, you fuel it, you put it in there. It's also a light to the path ahead of you. You know, so that's another way that God is doing it. You know, the word of God exposes many things. That's what light does. When you, like I said, when you walk into that dark room, you don't see what's there until you turn on the light. When you turn on the light, then you can see what's really there, you know. And if you try to turn on the switch and it didn't work, then you look for a flashlight. You need that light to see what's actually there. And that word is that lamp. It exposes lies of the devil. And not only does he expose lies, it reveals truth. So God's word damages evil, but enhances truth. Because it is the truth. So it will expose the lies. There's nothing hid that shall not be uncovered. Nothing secret that shall not be known. God does that through his word. But it also enhances. Jesus said, I've given them thy word in John 17. Thy word is truth. So the word of God is true. John 8 and 32 also says, when you know that truth, it will make you free. You know, so it brings freedom. It renews the mind. You know, be not conformed to this world, but be renewed, having your minds transformed. Now, these are believers now. The believers that have experienced deliverance from darkness and are now in the light, but they don't know yet what knowing, being in the light and walking in the light means. So Paul's going to teach them. This is what it means. You can't do those things anymore. This is how you do now. You know, so for you got to be intentional. You know, you got to walk, you know, as children of light. You got to exhibit the characteristics of God now. When you were in the world, you did those things. Now you are in Christ, you must do these things. You know, how do you do it? Power of the Holy Spirit. That's number three. First one is the finished work of Christ. Second one is the word of God that you intake every day. The third is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. These are the ways that God not only transforms you from darkness to light, but keeps you in the light. Dwelling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It brings illumination. The Holy Spirit also convicts and corrects and guides. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit is come, even the Spirit of truth. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Talked about the things he would do. John 14 and 26. John 15 and 26. John 16 and 13. Talking about the Holy Spirit when he comes. The Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will testify of me even and so forth. And the Spirit of truth. He will correct. He will guide. He will instruct. The word of God does that too. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. It's profitable for instruction, for correction, for rebuke, reproof, and so on. You know, so that you can be thoroughly furnished. The Spirit of God empowers us to walk in the light. Praise the Lord. You can't do it without the Spirit of God. Number four is a life of obedience and surrender. We must be daily yielded. There's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. These are contrary one to the other. Paul said, therefore I die daily. You know, I put that flesh under every day. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's constant surrender. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I beseech you, therefore, you know, by the mercies of the living God and so on. You know, you need to be transformed, you know. So even though we were already one time translated from power of darkness that was holding us down into light, there is a process of continuous transformation. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not dead sacrifice. Every day there's something going on, you know, holy, acceptable to your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye being transformed. The verb there is being transformed. It's a continuous transformation of the, I mean, through the renewing of your mind. Praise God. You know, and the Spirit of God also needs to be renewed. You know, we are washed constantly. You know, constantly washed. You know, it's called the washing of regeneration. You know, what is regeneration? Well, the word generation there, or regeneration there, it's like, yeah, think of the DNA. Regene. You are being regened, right? As you're being regened. Praise the Lord. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, you know, verse 5, it talks about we are saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing of regene, creating new genes in us, new DNA, washing of regeneration, and renewing of the Spirit, Holy Ghost in us all the time. So it's a constant process. And, you know, we must submit ourselves to this process. Paul would write in Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You know, these were believers, but Christ wasn't fully formed in them. They're still struggling. Their feet were still unstable. One foot here, one foot there. And he's praying for them constantly in the Lord that they will be stabilized in Christ. You know, so these are the things, the four things, you know, that God will use. The finished work of Christ, the Word of God all the time, you know, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and constant surrender that happens in prayer. That's where we surrender to God. We're praying to God. Prayer is a part of that lifestyle. Prayer is what brings us to surrender. We come to God. We talk to him. We yield to him. We do it in prayer and so forth. And when the Holy Spirit is talking to us, we yield. We do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, because it is he that provided a sealing of redemption for you. If you grieve him, that's a dangerous place to be. Now, what does it mean to walk in the light? What we have covered before now was the, what you might call, before picture. What did we look like when we were in the darkness? And what is the process that is changing us? And what are we going to look like in after the change? You know, the before, the process of the transformation, and now the after picture. So we've talked about before. We were blinded, alienated from God, you know, a broken identity, we're in bondage to sin, we're blindness of the heart, we're confusion, we're living by feelings, walking in the flesh, in darkness, you know, darkness shaping our lives, shaping our identity. All those things were before. We were sometimes darkness. That was before. You know, now there was a process, you know, there's something that is between the before and the after. There's a process inside, a process of doing something. You know, the Lord told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 18, he said, go down to the potter's house. I'm going to show you the word of the Lord when you get there. So he went down to the potter's house and he saw the potter doing his thing like he always does, making pottery, you know, took some clay or doing some things. And as he looked, he saw that the clay that the man took that he was working with was messed up. It got messed up. He said it was marred in his hand, got bent out of shape, got messed up, you know. But what did he do? Well, did he throw it away? No. He did not. What he did, rather, was he made it again into a new lump. You can read Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. He made it again into a new lump as it pleased him to do so. So, he took, there was something, there was a process of molding. Molding. When he was making it, it got messed up. He molded it again. You know, so there is a process to this thing. Even the process of coming into the fullness of the likeness of Christ is a process too. The beginning of it, which is for us to recognize that we are sinners and we need Christ, and how we get there, it's a process. John described it in the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. He said, as many as received him, he gave them power to become. That word become is a process. It's a process of becoming. You know, even though, you know, in God's mind, he knew that, he knows that you are there. And once you receive the grace that he brings to us through the revelation of the finished work of Christ, he knows that. However, there's a process. You know, the process, I travail in birth again until Christ be found in you. There's still a process that's going on. Now, when we come through that process, what the picture looks like at the, you know, going through that process of remaking, reimagining, and reimaging. You know, and, you know, a Holy Ghost do-over or make-over, as I call it, the potter made it again into a new lump, even as he pleased the potter to do so. All that process, what happens at the end is something that is now pleasing to God. We're now walking in the truth. There's no more deception. There's no more double life. And it's not like, you now have a 1 foot here, 1 foot there. And we don't know what you are. You know, on Sunday, we go to church. We shout hallelujah. We sing praises, you know, and so forth. Then on Monday through Saturday, we live like the world. Live like the devil. And come to church again on Sunday, be like an angel. No, that's double life. You know, this transformation to bring us into that place of stability, rooted and grounded in Christ. I will make you a pillar in the house of my God. You shall go no more out. It's not this and this and this and this. No, there's no wheels turning forward and turning backwards. No, not anymore. And no more spiritual blindness. We're now walking in holiness. Light exposes sin. You know, I've given this example many times. You know, because I live in this city that's called Valley of the Sun. The sun's always shining. But when you are in the house, you've got the drapes drawn and everything like that, you can't really see the rays of the sun. But when you pull the drapes back, And if you're at an angle where the sun can shine in, when you see the rays of the sun shining in, I see this all the time. Then all of a sudden you see all these particles, dust flying around. You know, and I'm like, is it the rays of the sun that made the dust to be there? No. That dust was there the whole time. We just didn't see it. The light exposed the sun. You know, that's what light does. Light exposes sin. When the rays of the sun come in, after you've pulled back the drapes, then all of a sudden you see all these particles flying around, which were there the whole time. You just didn't see them. So that's how the light of God's word exposes sin and causes, purifies our motives now. You know, we are now after the things of righteousness. Light is even producing righteousness in us. All the negative things that we talked about while we were in darkness, light is producing the counter effect of those things in us. You know, light is also making us to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, point blank says, walk in love. You know, and we read that yesterday in the book of 1 John. I mean, many chapters actually in 1 John, talking about if you don't love your brother and all of that, you're walking in darkness and so on. Walk in love. Now, the walking in love is actually an evidence that the light is in you. Because he that hates his brother is in darkness until now. So when you love your brother, that's an evidence. We may not be able to see the light that's inside of you, but we see it by the love that you show. Glory to God. You know, so darkness breeds hatred, envy, division, all this stuff. Light is the opposite. Light will produce love, compassion, unity, forgiveness, and all these things. You know, light produces that. No, light produces the fruit of the spirit. Darkness produces the works of the flesh in us. That's right. You know, now, when we are in the light of God's word, you know, it helps us to align, you know, with divine purpose and calling in our lives. Why? Because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And that's where we're going in this series. For us to be unified with the Lord in his divine purpose and his calling and everything, we must be in the light. Amos chapter 3 verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. God is light. If we are in darkness, we can't walk together. You know, so you got to become light in order to be joined to him. You know, that's right. God will not be joined to you when you are in darkness. It cannot happen. But when we become light, you know, 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. But you will not be joined to him if you are in darkness and he's in light, because in him there is no darkness at all. So, it must be an expunging of that darkness. And the light, when we're walking in the light, it reveals our true destiny. In fact, in this series, your destiny is revealed at last. Those that receive the word of God as the word of God indeed, and not as the word of man, we can see something in there. That's something you don't see until something happens, or until some. You know, Jesus was saying something in John chapter 3, verse 8. He said, as the wind blows and moves and so forth, you can't really see the wind. You see the effect of it, right? You know, when you see things blowing, people call it as a wind. You're just seeing the effect of the wind. And so is every man that is born of the Spirit of God. You can't tell where they're coming or where they're going, but you see the effect. When we see the love that's in your life. By this we know that we have passed from death and darkness unto life and light, because we love the brethren. The evidence that light is in you, one of the evidence, is that you love the brethren. We are passed from death unto life. We cannot overemphasize, you know, this business of loving the brethren. You know, and when we see, you just say, well, when you see their fruit, you know. When we see the love that you have in your heart, and then we know that you are passed from death unto life. You are really passed from death unto life, you know, because you love the brethren. You know, John says, this is how we know it. In the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. Powerful, powerful statement. You know, it says, we know that we have passed from death to life. Well, you know, because we love the brethren. A powerful, powerful statement. And that's what light will do to us. Also, with the light, God gives us the ability to walk in his authority. Why do I say that? Well, he said, the light shineth, John chapter 1, and darkness cannot comprehend it. See, darkness cannot overcome light. Light overcomes darkness. Light always wins. You know, so a child of God cannot be dominated by darkness. He said, you are not children of the night, you are children of the day. Therefore, walk as children of the light and day. Light always overcomes darkness. To God be the glory for that. And you carry this light wherever you go. Let your light so shine. Your points of light. Jesus himself is the light that lighteneth every man. I am the light of this world. You know. John chapter 8 and verse 12. And Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 says, ye also are the light of the world. You know, and you can't hide it. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick so that it can give light to everyone that's in the house. Now let me talk about why there is struggle between light and darkness. And remember, darkness produces death. It's the reign of death. It's the realm of darkness. It produces death. The ends of those things is death. The wages of sin is death. Why? I mean, why is it that, you know, when we give our life to Christ, so to speak, you know, we're just not there immediately. I'll tell you why. Because even from the beginning, see, when we are told that, you know, darkness was upon the face of the deep, Genesis chapter 1, and the Holy Spirit, he moved upon the face of the waters. From that beginning, God didn't like the chaos. God didn't like the darkness and everything, you know, and he commanded the light to shine. Say, let there be light. And we talked about that yesterday. Isaiah 45 verse 7 says, I form the light, create darkness. And I said to you yesterday, light cannot be created because light is God. But he can form it, he can call it out of darkness, you know, and do all of these things and so forth. You know, darkness, on the other hand, had a beginning. Light didn't. God is light. But the difference, you know, even though the light, he commanded it to shine out of darkness. Say, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to come to that scripture in a bit. But what he said in the beginning was, let there be light. And there was light. why did he not furthermore say, and let the darkness be no more? Why didn't he say that? Now, he could have said that, but he didn't say it. What he said was, let there be light. And that's it. And there was light. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He did not actually rebuke or remove the darkness. He left it in place. As a matter of fact, God saw that there was a purpose for the darkness. He gave it a day. He gave it a name. He said, the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. He gave name to it. And left the two of them side by side till today. Now, if God would have said, let there be light and let the darkness be no more, that would have been it. We would never have had any darkness. But he didn't say that. Now, that tells us that till today, light and darkness continue to be side by side. And there's coming a time when there will be darkness no more. There will be no need of even the sun. Because the Lamb of God will be the light of it, really, as he wanted to be in the first place. There will be no need to shut the gates at night. Because you normally shut the gates at night. And since there will be no night, there will be no need to shut the gates. You know, at nighttime, it will still be daytime. And you cannot count life anymore. The way we count life, this is really part of this series. The way we count life, I mean measure time, is what I mean by that. We measure time is in the evening and the morning were the first day. So you measure it like that. Okay, when the cycle changes again, then you measure and count another day. The second day was another evening and morning. First, there was the darkness, then the light. First, there was the darkness, then the light. God is showing us a pattern there. But as the cycle goes, you know. But one day, when there is no darkness, then how do you count the end of the day or the beginning of the day? You can't. So that's where there is no more time. At one point in time, when there is no more darkness, there will also be no more time. Time is measured today by a composition of the night and the day. That's how we count time. After one night and one day, and I remember we're not talking of day as 24 hours, we're talking of night as 12 and day as 12. Jesus said that in John chapter 11. Are there not 12 hours in the day? So we're not talking of the 24-hour day. We're talking of 12-hour day. You know, many stories in the Bible are related on the 12-hour day. The story that Jesus told in Matthew 20 of the late hour workers and all this was based on a 12-hour day. They started out in the morning. There were some people there. And then by 5 p.m. at night, 1 hour left, he went out, found some people, called them the 11th hour, you know, workers, and he brought them in. All these stories were based on 12-hour days. But this essence of the point I'm making here is that God left the light, I mean the darkness in place, side by side with the light that he commanded to shine out of the darkness. Why didn't he just remove the darkness? Well, that's his prerogative. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, we're also given an insight into this. The reason why the Lord allowed the darkness to remain in place, that's an insight that's given to us in Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. He said, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. That's when you are in the light. You know, while you're on top of the mountain, you are in the light, you know. But in the day of adversity, that's when you are in darkness. Consider that God has set this side by side. Put one over against the other. That's what side by side means. You know, or side by side, one by against the other means side by side. God has put one over against the other, left them side by side to the end that men should find nothing after him but him. You know, God takes us through these cycles for dependency on him. Praise the Lord. The same thing in our life when we are up and down. Now let me put a little digression there and talk to you about light and darkness in terms of walking in the realms of the prophetic also. We talked about that a few weeks ago. When you are in the light, you are hearing the voice of God clearly. Like on the mountain, you know, it's like boom, boom, boom. God's just speaking, you know. And then all of a sudden, it seems like you are in the dark. You pray, but you can't hear God's voice, you know. And then God said, look, when that moment of darkness comes, remember what I told you in the light. That's right. In the time when you think, I can't hear from God, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. In season and out of season. But if you know how to walk it, you know, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance what he told you in the light. When you are down in the valley, he will remind you of your experience from the mountaintop. Micah said it this way, Micah 7 and 8. Oh, my enemy, rejoice not over me. I don't gloat, you know, because when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. So there's times when we sit in darkness. And in all our lives, before we knew the Lord, we were like the people that sat in darkness, according to Isaiah chapter 9. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. But then we go through these cycles again. That's why there must be renewing of the spirit. You know, there's coming a place where we will be, where we will go no more out. I will make you a pillar in my house, and you will go no more out. There's no going back and forth. But there is still going back and forth. You know, even the priests, they go back and forth. They go to the holy place, they do their stuff, they come out. Even the holy, most holy place, the high priest went back and forth. He only went once in a year, but he went back and forth. He didn't stay there. He came out. And if he couldn't come out, they drag him out of there. But there is something about God bringing us into that place where we will go no more out. No more out. You just be there. You know, now in this series, we will find out what that looks like. What does that look like for us? To stay in the Word of God daily is how you maintain your walking with God in the light. Stay with the Word of God. The Word of God is like your, you might call it, that spiritual flashlight. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 11, verse 10. He said, look, are there not men 12 hours in the day? Well, if a man walks during the day, the sun is out. He's out walking. There's no need for him to stumble because he can see the light of the world. Everybody. You don't need to be a believer. Everybody. They're out. You can see plainly. The sun is out. Jesus made a distinction though. He said, but when it is dark, when there is no light, that man is going to stumble. Why? Why does he stumble when there is no, when it's dark? This is fundamental to this series, and I've talked about it multiple times, and I want us to get it. The reason the man stumbles when there is no, you know, when it's dark, is not because he has no light with him. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said he stumbled because there is no light in him. Not that he's not carrying a flashlight, but there's no light inside of him. That's what will make him stumble. Now, we conclude therefore, that's a powerful revelation. Powerful. We conclude therefore, just like Isaiah said, you know, said there may be gross darkness all around you in Isaiah chapter 60, but there is something inside of you. You know, the light that is inside of you, the word of God produces that light inside of us. That's right. That's why I say every day, the entrance of your word brings light. I say it every day. Produces that light inside of you. When you ingest that word into you, produces light. No matter the conditions around. Remember, just like darkness is a condition, not just an environment. The same way, light is a condition. Not just an environment. The condition of your heart, the light that's inside of you, defeats the environment that is dark around you. Praise the Lord. So powerful. You know, second thing is you stay in fellowship. You stay in fellowship. We are admonished, you know, to stay in fellowship. Now, I've told this lesson all the time that, you know, the prowling predator, those animals like the lion, the tiger, the this and that, they're trying to prey on the same pack of deer. They're trying to prey on, well, you know, he said, what happened? I mean, I said, what happens is he's looking, but because there are so many, they are clustered around, he doesn't know which one that he can attack, you know, so it's just looking, looking, looking. But all of a sudden, when one of those pack of deer leave the pack and wander away, then it becomes an easier target for the predator. And it's dead meat. I watch it all the time. National Geographic or all these world nature series. You know, it says, let us consider one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So it's calling it out. Some people like to forsake the assembly. You say, I'm going through, and then they stay on their own. Well, you become an even easier target for the devil by doing that. You know, you should be surrounded. You know, you surround there's safety in the multitude of counselors. When you are surrounded, you know, by your brethren, by love and caring and prayer and so forth, support, prayer support. You know, it's easier. I mean, it's harder that way for the devil to get you than when you are a lone target, an easier target for the devil. Don't forsake, but exhort one another. Come together, exhort one another, you know, and so forth. Even as we see the day approaching, we are told we must stay in prayer. Jesus said that men ought always to pray. Luke 18 and 1, and not to faint. You must stay in obedience. Obedience, you know, is what keeps that light. I mean, the pathway of our life continually, you know, illuminated. Because when you are in disobedience, you are committed under the God of this world, you know, which is darkness. When you're in obedience, you know, then you are in the light, you know. And the way we defeat disobedience is by when our own obedience is fulfilled. You know, we're talking about the weapons of our warfare that are powerful. Well, he said in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6, we do not fight after the flesh. Well, in the spirit, powerful weapons. And he began to say what they can do. They can pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, bring down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity obedience. It's there too. You know, the obedience of Christ is what brings other things into captivity. And then you can defeat all disobedience through your own obedience when your obedience is matured. That's right. You know, so being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 and 18, be not drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the end of part one of this transforming process of walking in the light and being transformed from darkness to light. I have some more stuff to deal with, but there's only so much you can cover in one day. So we'll continue this by the grace of God. But I'm going to pray over us right now. You know, every chain of darkness. Now, remember, we have to be in one realm, either in the realm of the Spirit of God or in the realm of the dark world. There are also spirit realm, the realm of darkness or the realm of light. You know, we must step out of darkness into the light. We were once darkness, now we are light. So we must walk as light. We must be intentional. You know, we have to step into purity. Well, who will ascend into the hills of the Lord? He that has a pure heart and clean hands. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, our identity is now moving from darkness into light. You were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So we walk as light. Every hidden work of darkness is exposed and defeated. You're walking in the light of His glory. When we walk in the light, we are by, you know, in this way, we're walking in the light. We are walking in revelation. We are going to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You know, we're walking in holiness now. We're walking in purpose. We're walking in glory. Hallelujah. The glory that Adam fell from. Say, man, you know, all I've seen. Romans 3:23. And I'm falling short of the glory of God. That glory is back. Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for the light has come. And the glory of the Lord, woo-hoo, risen upon thee. Praise the Lord. So, Father, I pray and I declare prophetically over the people that are here today or listening later on. The chains of darkness are broken. The powers of the realm of darkness are broken in our lives. Glory to God. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Darkness shall not have dominion over you. You are children of light. We're stepping into glory and we're walking in the light. Glory to God. Something is shifting in your life. As you recognize who you are. That's not you. You're better than that. Praise God. I pray and I declare for every one of us. Just like Jesus told the woman, caught in the midst of adultery. You are better than that. You don't need to be like that. Go and live the life that God ordained for you. Go and do that stuff no more. To God be the glory. We are better than that. Shining in the glory of God. Go and walk in the light and walk no more in darkness. Go and sin no more. We walk into a life of purity and divine direction. In the name of Jesus, hidden works of darkness are destroyed. You know, he said, look, we are not, you know, doing craftiness and hidden works of darkness and so on. No, that's not us. You know, we're agents of light. That's right. We'll be talking more about that in coming days. To God be the glory. Walk in the light of His revelation. Walk in the light of His holiness. Walk in the light of God's calling and purpose. And walk in the light, which is Christ Himself. Holy Spirit, enable every one of us to do it. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Must be a reflection of that light. Let your light so shine. Be intentional. Cause it to come to pass that your light is always shining. Remove the blockers and all the things that are trying. I see in the spirit different things that try and cover your light. You know, Get rid of those things. Let your light shine. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.